Low-hanging fruit. Casey Van Dyke, man, thanks for coming on the Low-Hanging Fruit podcast.
Howdy, hey.
How's it hanging?
It's been hanging. Low-hanging.
Dude, yeah, so we were just talking about Kurt Cobain and how demented he is. Like, I think you kind of need that source of darkness for that creativity that he had, you know? Like, he was definitely drawing from this dark place that most people would, like, look at and just be scared of, you know?
Yeah, like, turn away from.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a part of art. Like, suffering seems to be, like, a constant thing in, like, just human condition that, like, we're all kind of drawn to, like, suffering or, like, drama, like, in general. Like, we like that shit. Like, as much as people say they don't, like...
Hail Krishna.
Why do you think people are so, like, especially within art, like, why do you think people are so drawn to suffering?
I think, I mean, I guess it's all just based off personal perspective, but, like, it's probably just because, like, people can, like, sympathize with it, and they, like, I feel like when people look at art, they, like, you know, everyone brings their own baggage to shit, and, like, regardless of how you make something and put it out there for people to see, and you have, like, your own intentions as to what you want them to think, like, they're always gonna bring their own shit to it, so, like, however they're seeing it is however, whatever's gone on in their life is gonna change how they see it, and that's just, like, I think where it comes from is, like, people see themselves in it.
That's super interesting, man, and I've been getting into this, this, like, thought process recently. So, like, some art, you have a message, you know, that you want to communicate, but then there's the art where it's kind of abstract, and it's almost like a Rorschach test for the person viewing it, you know? So, like, one person can project how they're feeling on it, and then another person can have a completely different experience from the same painting, you know? Do you, like, have any bias towards, like, abstract art or different, like, segment of types of art?
I mean, I guess I did at some point in my life. Yeah. I guess I felt like it's kind of like the general thing that, like, people are pissed off about, like, art in general that's, like, pretty abstract or, like, deconstructed because they feel like, oh, it's just, like, a stroke or it's just a line and, like, I can do that. It's so simple. Like, why can they do it? But also at the same time, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, art went so far in one direction where pretty much it's just, like, people trying to, like, cope with reality. Yeah. And, like, they're trying to cope with their own lives and the conditions that they were set in. And art, you know, it started as just, like, literally fucking cave paintings. Yeah. Like, etchings on walls, and they were, like, impressionist and whatever. Like, you couldn't – it was just, like, that's a cow. That's a fucking – and it's just, like, a squiggle line. But then, like, as people, like – I don't know, got form and, like, structure and, like, tightened their work, it became, like, hyper real and, like, high classical and, like, you know, and it, that became, like, the whole other end of it. And I think what happened was is it just became to a point where it got so real that, like, it had to be deconstructed and rebuilt again because people weren't, like, necessarily what's it called, what we were just saying earlier, like, people weren't sympathizing with
it.
Like,
for some people it's harder to sympathize, and it's crazy because the evolution of consciousness, and you can see, like, the evolution of consciousness along with art as well. So, like, you go from the cave paintings, and the first art, like, started because you had to represent an actual thing, you know? So a lot of the art was just representing real shit or whatever.
Yeah, just, like, people then, going out and, like, getting food and, like...
Yeah, and then you get the photograph too, which is crazy because then, like, there's a lot of people into portraits and shit like that. But then we got the photograph, and that kind of takes the skill out of it. And then we could start abstracting, like, a little bit, you know? So I'm going to make this person look a little crazy. It doesn't have to look real or whatever. And then I think, like, that is the evolution of it. But
yeah,
it's crazy shit, man. So what does, like, being creative mean to you? Because you're a surfer, skater, rock and roller, painter, photography guy. So, like, what does it mean to be creative in those fields to you?
I think it means just, like, doing it because you love it and, like, not really worrying about, like, I mean, obviously other people's opinions and shit, like, shape the way that you do things, and, like, you know, you're inspired by others and you're inspired by the people who came before you and after you, but, like, you got to do it because, like, at the end of the day, when you're, like, alone and you're just sitting there, there's no other reason why you would do it besides, like, your own sanity or your own, like, satisfaction or gratification from it.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I heard a quote the other day, and it was, like, greatness requires a lot of things, but an audience isn't one of those things.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, and oh, yeah, and like, I mean, it's cool to have an audience, and like, but a lot of those things just seem to come naturally, I think, especially mm-hmm. like when there's like, I feel like a point where people just let go when they're making art and they stop having expectations or like stop holding themselves up to like some type of standard mm-hmm. that they've created for themselves. And that's when people start recognizing it as like, wow, that person's doing their own thing, or like that person's like out there, like they're on their own wavelength. But it's really they're just like kind of tapping into what's been there. Like,
yeah. So that's an interesting point too. Do you feel like your art is tapping into something, like you're uncovering something, or do you start out a project like have a vision in your mind, you know?
And I mean, personally, like my art is very based off of like reality and like the world, and pretty much just like the way that I process things and the way that just kind of like people in general are like trying to figure out their identities in this world where things have changed so much and our society has really shifted. Like, I mean, this is even before us, this is before like our great 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 grandparents. Like, we're in a society where it went from like need based, like we were talking about earlier, like you went and got the food that you hunted or whatever because you needed to eat, and you had like maybe the clothes on your back because you needed that protection. But now we live in a society where it's like people need like extra things. They need like things that have like monetary value. They need things that like symbolize like I don't know, having like a hot, like an upper like hand over someone else, or just like, yeah, and it, like, that's confusing, especially just like when you're trying to figure yourself out, and then you've got like 80 million fucking advertising and marketing companies telling you what they think you want or like what to buy, and like you've built your whole life based off of this shit, and then like, who are you really? Like, you know,
that's intense, man. So one of my favorite pieces that you've done was the ad space or whatever, talking about like how advertisers influence. So talk a little bit about that project and how it got started and stuff.
So, I mean, I guess I've been in this rabbit hole for like almost 3 years now. But so it all started with like I was in like a drawing class or something, and I started just like learning about appropriation in general in work and how advertising and marketing works, and how like pretty much the whole idea of like propaganda is built, and people use that in negative and positive ways to like shape the minds of like massive amounts of people, because we all think in mostly in like groups per se. Like, everyone wants to be an individual, and that's like, especially in America, like it's all about individualism.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, but we don't realize that like everything that we do and everything that we think is based off of like large groups, subgroups of people that like, we're, whether we like it categorized into or not sometimes.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing, is it's against our will.
Yeah.
And then just the force feeding of
It's like it's
bullshit.
It, yeah, and it's just like it perpetuates itself and it just continues to go. And like, so my thing was that ads have always pissed me off. Like, marketing has always pissed me off. I hate that, like, when I drive down Beach Boulevard or like any main road ever, like, you know, if you live somewhere young anywhere and you grow up, like there were like little shops and, you know, local businesses and shit, and then like a billboard pops up and then another billboard pops up, and then your visual like space, your visual environment is just so impeded on by like these people that have a bunch of money and want to like capitalize on like your subconscious.
Yeah.
And so like pretty much what that's called is subversive advertising.
Shit.
And so I always thought it was funny that, like, you know, all this stuff is just very subversive. It's all not spoken. It's all very subconscious. It's all, like, you know, like, why do we have fucking, I don't know, like, why do you drink Gatorade instead of, like, generic brand, like, energy drink? Like, why do you have a Brita filter for your water when you can get it from the sink?
Yeah.
It's just because, like, I don't know, we all have these reasonings that they've made us think that we need these things, but you don't really need them.
Yeah, man, that brings it back to like the thing of we're living in a time where everybody has a safety net, you know, and there's no necessity. It's almost like we're dealing with an over evolution, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially with social media and shit, it's like constantly all the time. You can't like turn it off. So like, and that was my whole thing of with that project of I came up with the idea of like projecting advertisements into like personal and domestic spaces, because mm-hmm. honestly at this point it's like there's no point in your life really where you're like alone anymore. Like yeah. you can't even take a shit in the bathroom without like going through Instagram or yeah. like, you know, you talk to your friends about that's like true. Oh, I'm hungover, like I need some like Pedialyte or something, and yeah. then an ad for Pedialyte shows up yeah. on your Instagram. Like, it's crazy. And so like I guess I just wanted to like convey that visually and like make people think twice about how much those things actually do influence like everything like, yeah. in their lives.
Do you think that all of the use of social media and basically like the shortening of attention span is affecting people's creativity or at least their relation to creativity?
Yeah, in like a good way and a bad way. I mean, definitely like you said, like instant gratification seems to be like the thing now. Like
everyone, gotta get those likes.
Everyone wants it now. And that's not just like social media, that's everything.
Yeah.
Like, why do you think 12-year-old kids are addicted to Juuls? Like,
yeah.
It's the same principle. They want like that feeling like immediately of just like, I've done something and I've gotten something in return.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it seems like people don't necessarily have the attention spans to like really think about things in depthly sometimes, but it also is cool because people have access in ways that they never have.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's like, I think it's voluntary, like I think most of it is voluntary ignorance from people. Like they start realizing as they go deeper into a rabbit hole that what they're finding is not positive. It's not what they want to find. Like all the movies and all this shit always ends in a happy ending, and like the stories, like religion, everything wants to end in a happy ending because we're so terrified of a possible truth that is negative.
Well, yeah, and then that just goes into like realism or like, I don't know, we can go so far into like existentialism or something.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And I mean, like, yeah, and that's just really, I think it comes down to where you get your information from and where you decide to get your information from. And it sucks that like a lot of people now, they want to be like, it's the cool thing now to be like woke per yeah. se, or like it's the cool thing to be like socially conscious and like politically active. And mm-hmm. like, that's not a bad thing because it's great because people are becoming conscious and socially aware. But at the same time, those people don't look into it.
That's the biggest thing, man. They don't read. They'll see a thing on Instagram and repost it to their stories and not read a thing about it, you know? And it's like, that's it's good because that there's some like grain of truth.
Yeah.
But I mean, you really need to, if you're gonna post that stuff, really do your research. And
I mean, I can't say that I haven't been in a position where I've done that and realized that something has been wrong. And yeah. that's the whole thing too, is that like we used to be able to like be wrong, and we used to be able yeah. to like, I don't know, like have your own, like you could do something wrong and get away with it and like it would go away. And yeah. nowadays it's like kids who are like 12 or 13, like the shit that we were doing, like can you imagine if your friends were filming it on Snapchat, like yeah. every single thing?
Prison.
Yeah, that's like what I mean is it's just like
so much stupid shit.
Yeah. yeah, and that's just like, it sucks because those kids are gonna have to grow up with like the world watching them all the time. Mm-hmm. But it's also, again, it just goes back to like there's so much shit out there that is been out there for so long, and it was not necessarily like made for you, but like it was made for everyone, and like yeah. you gotta choose what you like and just look. Like if you read a fucking book,
read some books out there,
or read a book.
The problem with sources is like the market of sources is way too oversaturated. Like you've got so many sources of information, like Wikipedia, CNN, Fox, like a gazillion different newscasters, blogs, like all this shit. Like, it's hard not to accept everything as a truth if, like, it's hard because...
Yeah, it's either, like, everything's real or, like, right, nothing, or is. Nothing is. Yeah, yeah, and that sucks because, like, people just tend to live in extremes, and, like, we don't want to, like, no one wants to be the person who, like, doesn't know, and no one wants to be the person who's like, I'm still learning. Like, they want to, like, have their opinion and be able to be like, I back this. And, like, it's just people don't, like, I don't know.
You should go into a conversation willing to change your opinion after, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I have my opinion, but if I'm presented with facts that contradict that, then I will
go like being, to the, being open-minded and like just not shutting down, you know. And that's like the whole thing, because it's really hard nowadays, because like a lot of us were all raised different ways, you know, and like you have to be, you have to hold yourself accountable for the way that you were raised and realize that, you know, you have advantages slash disadvantages based off of like who you were raised by, where you were raised, and like how you decided to deal with it. And like, yeah, like we have had privilege just because we're like white people
in America, dude.
In white people in America who grew up in like probably a safer socioeconomic area. So like we didn't necessarily have to like second guess like things about our lives or whatever. But nowadays it's just like there's so many things that have came forward that are like important and pertinent, and people need to know and they need to hear about it and not be like what we were talking about earlier, just like ignorant.
Yeah,
but they're gonna choose to be ignorant about like the things that matter, like they always are. And then people are gonna like be so strongly willed against like not wearing a mask in public because of some reason political or like,
well, the biggest thing is they think that's their identity, that they become this position, you know. And if you bring them facts that contradict their identity, then they think that you're attacking them as a
personally.
Person.
And I guess that just comes down to like your ego.
That's
and like
the thing, man.
letting it go, like just realizing that you can change as a person, and like who you are a day from now isn't necessarily who you were
and
2 years ago.
You should be changing too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Change is like, that's healthy.
That's one of the problems like nowadays with stuff going on now is like identity politics kind of is merging, because now like BLM, right, is now like, that's very personal. Like that is something identity politics, like technically, like that's their lives. Like that is,
it is their lives
politics.
And
but that shouldn't be a political thing.
You know? No, it should be. It's like,
that should just be a problem.
It should just be like basic human rights. Yeah. And like, it sucks that things that people have overlooked, white people specifically have overlooked for so long, and they choose to just oppress people, and we all look the other way. And when it comes up, people continue to just, like, want to, like, do their own thing. And, like, there's, like, oh, you know, I just, like, I'm so comfortable in my own life that, like, I'm not willing to change my perception to, like, make everything better for everyone.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that it comes down to, especially just being this age, like, and going to college or, like, having a life experience that like makes you see the world, you realize that there's like inequality. And like when you realize that there's inequality in anywhere, that like it should be evened out.
Definitely. And I think some inequality is good, but you definitely, how the distance of the spectrum is so stretched out now, and I think that's the like real root of the problem.
Yeah.
But also I believe that like social media is just stratifying people so heavy, man. Like you get in your own feedback loops. But a crazy thing about
chambers.
Yeah, exactly, dude. The crazy thing about that is like, have you heard of the Instagram ghosts?
No, what is that?
It's just a bunch of dead people on Instagram, like, because their accounts don't get taken down, you know. So it like the database, it will only keep growing because it doesn't like
delete their account.
Exactly.
Unless
you know?
Like someone deletes it for you.
Exactly.
But then everyone wants, I'm sure, to be like etched in the virtual stone of like society.
And that's what data is going to be. You're going to literally, everybody's going to have a profile now, and you can go back on your grandma's profile, because like for our grandkids, they're going to be able to check out our profiles and stuff like that, you know. And it's like we're forever enshrined in this like data
my
set.
My grandkids aren't going to check out my, I'm deleting all my shit and going off
yeah, but that's what you
in
think.
Years,
like, they've
dude.
Already, like, that it shit's, like, stored.
You're already on there, bro.
It's already on there.
I'm on there, but
like, from the
if
time
I cut
you,
it off, then that's all they'll have.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, that's what you think. Like, I mean, it's, they're listening to us now. Like, they it's just, like, NSA shit.
Off-grid,
you'd have to, like, burn your social security card, like, go to, like,
move out of the country.
Yeah, you'd have to, like,
for sure.
Go to New Zealand and just,
yeah. That's, like, the only way you could do it. But then also at the same time, it's, like, I've thought about that a lot, too. Like, it would be really nice to just, like, say fuck it and like go all stoic and shit and just like go to your isolation
place. Live off the land.
And like, yeah, live off the land, you know, like have only the basic necessities. But at the same time, like it sucks. Other people don't even get that opportunity. And like, if you're at this point and you're like, you can do both nowadays. Like you can be, you can remove yourself and like do your own thing and still be like politically aware or conscious.
And contribute to society.
Or just contribute to society. Cause like, but contributing to society isn't necessarily like contributing to like, I don't know, like voting. Like, I mean, everyone should vote. But
go vote.
Like, yeah, go vote. But like, you know, like, society can be something as simple as like your neighbors who live next door to you. It's just like treating people with like kindness and respect and like realizing that everyone comes from a different place. And
that's an interesting thing.
Don't
too,
be
man.
A dick. Like, and just don't. Yeah.
People have a hard time like stepping into someone else's shoes. Like, it's so hard for people to associate feelings with something that's happened to someone else unless if you've shared a similar experience. And even if you have shared a similar experience,
you're
gonna
pull from your own.
Yeah, they're gonna be completely different. Like, me and Zach could go through the same shit, like a same car accident, and he's gonna feel about it one way and I'm gonna feel about it completely different. And like, that's how shit works. And it's hard for people to understand, like, what if all of that shit that's been going on was happening to you? Like, what if that was you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you want people to like try to fucking help you? Like,
yeah. And that's the other thing too, is it feels like yeah, people like have a hard time like getting in each other's shoes and like seeing things from a different perspective. But also at the same time, like, you don't even know a person and you know their name like through someone. They're like, have you heard of so and so? And you look up their Instagram and there's their like their life, like air quotations on life.
Yeah, magazine like edited life.
Yeah, and that's just like what you want people to see of you.
Yeah.
And then they bring that when they meet you. And that now they already have like a perspective of you, or like
they're holding you up to the standard on your Instagram. Yeah, man, I think the reason why is because everybody's so desensitized, you know? There's a thing called Dunbar's number, and it's about 150 names. And so basically what it is, you can only remember 150 names. That's like about the limit of the human capacity right now. And so they think like that's the limit of like how many people should be in a tribe or something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
If you have 150 people in this community, you're going to respect everybody's role within the society. But as you get more people, you're not going to remember them. You just see them as traffic, you know, these fuckers on the subway, little ants, you know. And it's just like,
and that's the thing, and that's like kind of just the issue, especially it's the issue just with our society in general. But it's like seeing people as like these like, they're not people, they're like dehumanized
objects.
In a sense, like it's just like, it's the same when it goes to like the protests and the peaceful protests that have been going on all around America. Like, the way that the news puts it is it's like they're rioting and their groups and their masses, and it's not, it's all about like, you know, the fearful group that we've got to protect ourselves from. And it's like, on the other side, it's like they're the conservatives. It's a group, like it's a large sum of people that we've put all these people into like a categorization of, because that's what people do. We categorize, and that's how we can like logically try to like explain the world around us. But you know, it would definitely be, or hopefully, I don't know, you never know, it might
be
easier just to like narrow things down to like a smaller group of people. And like,
my theory is
like, live with who you enjoy being with.
Yeah,
but like that's just like primitive communism. Like a commune.
I think my theory is we should eliminate both parties and have everybody vote for the policies that they want online. You know, everybody has access to a public library, so you go on, first page, healthcare, you know. Do you want it by the government or do you want it privatized? And it has like a spectrum between like 1 to 3, 1 to 5 different things, you know. And then you go down, all right, healthcare, do you want it privatized, public? And then you literally have a spectrum of 5 different policies that are there. And you literally go down, and that eliminates all the all the parties. It eliminates money from politics, you know. Nobody can pay you
fuck
to
lobbying.
That's what,
it's all just like, I mean, at this point it just seems like that system's got to be like broken down entirely to be built back up. Like, it's the thing is like, even if you don't even if you think that there's like a little bit of hope that like these people in our government or whatever can like put their hearts in the right places and like put the money in the right places, it's like there's still gonna be like that one person who has like a lot of money who wants that fucking oil rig to go up in the middle of the ocean, who's gonna give that one politician a lot of money to like advocate for this one proposition to get through or legislation to get through, and then there's so many things attached to that, and that sets so our whole government up.
Yeah, like, absolute power corrupts absolutely. But yeah, man. But if we did the just like voting for the policies, that would eliminate all that shit. You know.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds interesting. I would be like interested to like look into that, and I just feel like if you could somehow get people to. Like, fuck, they should have a class when you're, like, a little kid, like, about politics and voting and policies and, like, what all these things mean, where they go, how they affect your life, and then you should be able to make an educated decision on what you want.
Yeah.
Instead of it just being, like, a social thing that it's, like, your parents were raised a certain way and, like, since they're, like, liberal or Republican or conservative, like whatever they are or they identify as, it's like most likely you're either gonna go so far away from that because you're rebelling or you're gonna like align very closely with your parents. And like,
dude, so do you like, do you have all this in mind when you're working on a new piece? Like, do, are you thinking about the collapse of the world and shit while you're like making like working on a new project and shit? Or
sometimes. Like,
yeah,
I mean, it, this kind of shit's like always going through my head. I highly recommend reading Edward Bernays's Propaganda.
Okay.
It's pretty much, he was like the guy who created like the propaganda machine that became like our society.
Damn.
And it has been used so many times, just like in the war efforts especially, but they realized that you could also use it during like peaceful times for like marketing and advertising, and that's how they've built these like ways that they make ads and the ways that they sell things to people where it's just like subliminal and subversive.
Yeah.
Like, there's YouTube videos on it too. I know BBC has like a 4-part like documentary on, on the dude. It's he's like pretty interesting. I mean, he seems
sick,
crazy, but it's cool because like you can read all the shit and you realize that like, wow,
you start seeing it around.
Yeah, and you like freak out because you're like, wow, like it really is like this bad. But you also realize that at the same time, like if they can use it to like fuck with the way that you think about things, like you can use it to like get your message across, or you can use it to display your own narratives and shit, and like,
and to not get caught in theirs, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You,
too,
like, you're, the more you're aware of the marketing, the less effective it is, you know.
Yeah, but then that's also like the further like people want to like push you away from society and be like, you know, oh, he's crazy, or like, oh, he's like whatever, because he does what he does and it seems so abstract from
group mentality.
Yeah.
Do you so what else have you been reading, man?
Fuck, so much shit.
Hell yeah.
I don't even know. I've been some like John Fonte. He's like a beat literature writer. He has this book called 1933 Was a Bad Year. I've been reading that. I read some Franz Kafka recently.
Oh, yeah.
I had never read Metamorphosis. That was really good. And there's another short story by him called The Hunger Artist, which was really cool. And
dude, he is so relevant today when just talking about the infinite machine that is.
And like, that's just like in general. Like, the more I read, the more I realize that, like, there's so many points in American history and just the history of the world where things have happened and things have seemed like the end for everyone and everything, and like society has collapsed and been rebuilt, and it's just like you gotta look back at history and you gotta look back at the people who like were living through it, and that's the writers, like, you know, that's the best perspective you can get on what was going on and see how they dealt with
it. Dude, his writing reminds me of just like what's the guy with the boulder who's always pushing the boulder up every day?
It's Artemis.
Artemis?
Artemis.
I think it's
Achilles.
I think it's
Achilles.
Sisyphus?
Sisyphus.
I think, whatever. Achilles. The Greek guy who's, like, pushing up a boulder every day of his life, you know? But, like, that's what I kind of got from his work is, like, it's, like, about characters, like, thinking that they're moving forward, you know? And it's literally just they're on the treadmill Sisyphus or whatever. It is Sisyphus, yeah. Hell yeah.
He was punished for himself. What, I don't know. He was punished for being crafty and deceitful, and so they forced him to roll a boulder up the hill.
Every time he rolls every time he rolls a boulder near the top of the hill, the boulder gets too heavy and rolls all the way back down.
That's what I think of when I read some of his stuff, man.
That's how I like think of my art. I don't know. That's just like, it seems to be like the ebb and flow of just life in general. Like, you go through really good periods where it feels like nothing could ever like take that from you, and you're like inspired and like, you know, everything's going good, and then you can go through like such lows in your life where you just feel like you're digging a pit and it just keeps getting deeper.
Yeah.
And it just seems that, like, especially like in terms of art, like when you're making art, it seems like that happens a lot, where you're like really like, oh, I'm doing this and I'm making it, and like it feels good, and then sometimes you're just like, it's fucking shit, like I hate all of this.
Yeah.
But I guess just bottom line, like, if you're still doing it, then you're you're in the clear.
Dude, so how much do you, like, how much of a role does indulgence play in art, whether it be with drinking or just like, I want to get some candy, or like just anything?
I mean, it goes like pretty to an extent pretty far. I feel like people just in general, like, we're gluttonous creatures. We enjoy things that we don't need.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, yeah, I mean, I make a lot of my art like late at night.
Yeah.
So sometimes it just so happens that I've like been drinking before.
Yeah.
Or like, I don't really like painting and drinking, or like making art and drinking, really, but like, I like smoking weed and making art. It seems to, like, I don't know, just kind of like lower that inhibition of just like, and I know people think when you say like lower your inhibitions, it's like you're sitting in your room eating potato chips.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, like, it doesn't make me get in my head as much about like what I'm doing. Like, I can just lay it down and then I'm like, okay, it's there.
I know exactly what you mean, man. Cause like, it's just the confidence in the stroke almost, you know, and it's not necessarily the confidence, but it's the fact that I'm going to put this on the paper and not think about like, well, is this mark perfectly good? You know, I'm just going to keep on going.
Yeah, and I mean, it sucks that, like, it's the thing that a lot of people realize this through, is, like, they can let go through, like, being, like, inebriated or being, like, some type of having something that makes them feel a certain way, like, even if it's something as simple as, like, cigarettes.
Yeah.
But it's also, like, you have to realize that, like, those things don't really, like, let you let go. Like, you still chose to let go and like make that mark, and you still chose to like not give the fuck, like, you know.
Yeah man, that's interesting, dude. So what are some of the projects you're working on now?
I don't even know.
I have to excuse myself for a bathroom break.
Yeah. I don't even know what I'm working on.
We'll take a pause.
You want to take a pause?
Yeah, we can just cut it here and then we'll crop it back in.
Welcome back from the bathroom break. Zach just had the Hershey squirts.
Chimona. But yeah, we're talking about just reading books and audiobooks and stuff.
But yeah, like when I was working as a pool guy, audiobooks were the way to go because I was listening to music all day. So
yeah,
like, I'm not trying to listen to the same music.
No, you get tired of it. I've done a manual labor job so many in my life. But yeah, audiobooks are the shit for that. Or like road trips,
podcasts.
I knocked out a 12-hour audiobook in 2 shifts.
Really? That's sick,
the
though.
The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins.
Ooh, I've never even heard of that.
Best book ever. Second best book ever.
Richard Dawkins.
What's your favorite book?
The Stranger by Albert Camus.
That's a good one. And what's your favorite book?
Might be cliche, but Doors of Perception by Aldous Huxley.
Okay.
Beautiful shit, man. God damn.
I don't even know. I can't even think of my favorite.
What's your favorite, like, recently? Besides the Propaganda Machine.
Fuck. Damn, that's like, it's so hard because
it's hard to pick one, man.
Yeah, I just like Slaughterhouse by Kurt Vonnegut.
Oh shit, yeah.
That was a really good book that I just really enjoyed the way that he wrote it, and it's like about like pretty much like a post-apocalyptic society.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy lives in fucking New York, and New York has like no electricity and shit. It's like disheveled, and a virus comes.
Oh shit.
And like kills everyone. It's like the Black Plague kind of or something like that. And so this guy just lives in this fucking skyscraper, and he calls himself the King of the Candlesticks, and it's so weird, but it's really good.
It's crazy, man. I need to read more fiction, man. I read nonfiction.
Well, yeah. Fuck.
For the most part.
Have you ever read, like, On the Road?
By Jack Kerouac?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm reading Ken Kesey shit?
Yeah, like, I'm reading Naked Lunch right now.
True.
But I'm trying to get into that stuff, like, for creative purposes, man, because that stuff definitely helps me just, like, with imagery and stuff like that.
Yeah, dude, the way that writers write about things, like, especially, like, poetry and stuff, like, I'm not really, like, big into poetry. I wish, like, if anyone ever has any, like, recommendations for me, like, put me on. But, yeah, just, like, realizing, like, the way that people write things and, like, especially, like, prose and shit. Like, I have a book, it's, like, Bob Dylan, it's called Tarantula, and it's, like, all of his, like, prose and poetry.
Damn.
And it's just crazy, like, the way he phrases shit, it's, like, it doesn't make fucking sense at all.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, sometimes there'll be, like, blips of things that you're just, like, wow, like, I can't believe you thought, like...
It's crazy how you think of something like that, man, and how you juxtapose certain words to provoke an image in somebody else's mind, man, and it's kind of insane, dude. Do you think that, like, having a message within the art is more important than the aesthetic of the art itself?
No. I think it goes, like, hand in hand.
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, like, an aesthetic in art is, like, so different for everyone because it's just based off of your own, like, opinion and personal taste. Like, you know, like, there's even, like, anti-aesthetic art. I guess that's apparently, like, what I consider my art right now is, like, anti-aesthetic. That's my aesthetic.
Yeah, yeah.
Or to an extent, it's one of the characteristics of my art. But it's just, like, I don't know. Yeah, like, there are, I guess, periods in art in general where, like, art has moved so, like, into that direction of, like, the aesthetic, like, is so beautiful, you know, like, everything needs to be, like, perfect and whatever.
Yeah.
That, like, the message is lost.
Yeah.
And then, like, on the other end of it, it's like if it's just the voice and it seems, like, ugly and it's like people aren't appealed to it. And so it's like you have to find, like, that balance, and, like, it just depends on where you want to go with it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't know, like, horror films are sick, but they also scare the shit out of people, but they still keep watching them.
Yeah.
But also, like, you know.
Really? Oh, yeah, I love them, man.
Dude, I love scary movies.
Hereditary is the best.
I like psychological thrillers, like Hereditary. Like, I like that
Shutter Island
stuff.
Shit.
Shutter Island is like, oh, that's a really good one.
Hell yeah.
I can't do, like, pop out
Did you, like, have you ever seen, like, The Shining and shit?
Yeah, I like Shining.
That's art, man.
You should
man.
Read that book. It's a really good book. Steve, I like, have you read it?
No, I want to. The movie is amazing.
Like, I read it when I was, like, in high school.
Stephen King is a savage.
It's interesting.
Savage.
Yeah, it's interesting to see, because we were just talking about indulgence in art, man, and he doesn't even remember writing some of his, like, best works, too, you know?
Really?
Yeah, and he would just be on...
writing some of mine.
Really?
Some of my songs.
I mean,
but he was just on a blowbender.
Yeah, there's a lot of people... I don't know. I guess I kind of black out, too.
Yeah.
Like...
because it's almost like you're not thinking about it. It's like a flow state, you know, when you're surfing or when you're skating.
Yeah, I was just about to say that, too. Like, surfing and skating are especially, like... those things.
Yeah.
Just
when, like, you're in the pocket playing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
A good old jam.
Yeah, like when you're jamming and then you, like, lock in like that.
Oh, yeah.
You lock in, you get the chills, you're like, oh, I'm in there.
Like, yeah, just with everyone, and everyone's, like, communicating on that unspoken
you get your music
level.
Vinegar strokes.
Yeah. Dude, yeah, man. Well, some of your photography, dude, I was, like, looking at it and it's so different from other people's shit. Like, if you show me a bunch of photographs and, like, one of yours was in there, I could easily pick it out. You know, and it's like, so how do you get your unique perspective, and is it, like, representative of how you see the world, or is it just something that comes about naturally, or?
I mean, my, like, relationship with photography is, like, I've been taking photos since I was, like, 12.
Yeah, shit. Yeah.
And, so I was, like, I went to school for it in, like, middle school, and I had this teacher named Miss Adams. And she was, like, the worst person in the world. And she had a poodle, and she looked just like her poodle. Like, so that's, like, the image. And she just, she would like give me detentions all the time and shit, and make me like scrub gum off desks before school and like water the garden outside because we had like an alleyway. So I like, but I learned, I like shot with like a film camera for like, I got my first film camera, which I still have.
Damn.
And it's like a Pentax K1000. And then, but yeah, and then we like had a dark room and we developed our own film and shit, but I hated it so much. So I like was like, fuck this shit. I'm never gonna do it again. Like, whatever. Yeah. And then when I was a kid, I guess, like, 15 or something, I went on some, like, trips with friends, like, surf trips and whatnot. And I went to, like, a surf camp in California when I was a kid, too. And I brought my film camera with me, and I just, like, took a shit ton of photos.
Sick.
And then, you know, like, bought the Walgreens film, like everyone does.
Yeah.
And, like, go get it developed at, like, somewhere else for, like, I don't know, like $20 a roll, and it's like so expensive.
Yeah, man.
And then yeah, so I just like refell in love with it, and then yeah, that's like what I go to school for.
And that's stuff. Badass.
So I don't know. I just kind of like the perspective I take on my photography is like I think of it as like an art entirely.
But yeah, that's the thing is like. You think of it as an art now, but like you said, when you were younger, you didn't think of it as an art, and you were forced to do it, which is why, like, I can't stand how school systems make you do arts. They like make you, oh, you're either in chorus or you're in band.
See, but like, I really wish
don't like music.
Yeah, and I get that, but I really wish I would have been like actually had an art class in high school or something that I was allowed to take, because then I would have like fell in love with drawing like way earlier. Right.
The biggest thing is having good teachers, man.
Yeah,
at the end of the
and
day,
having options too.
That's
like,
the bottom line.
Good teachers. But yeah, because same thing with me, man. I was in the high school band for the sixth grade or middle school band, sixth grade, and they played me on the tuba. And I dropped it, you know, didn't play music for another 4 years or whatever.
Just like, fuck it. Like, I don't want to do that shit. And then it leaves, like, a bad taste in your mouth. And then you have to, like, re-find your love for it and realize that, you know, there's, like, there's always, like, the utilitarian, like, capabilities of, like, what all equipment, like, tools.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a camera's a tool. Like, a guitar's a tool. Like, are these mics are tools. But it's, like... I don't know. It just depends on how you use them.
Yeah. Do you think that there can be, objectivity in beauty? Or do you think there's some beauty that is objective?
Depends what you're talking about.
Yeah.
In any instance.
Beauty technically is symmetry. So, like, the more symmetrical your face is, technically the more...
Yeah, but...
But that's not beauty, though.
But, like, also beauty...
It's just what you're attracted to, because it's good genes. It's, like, evolutionary...
But, like, beautiful people are the most symmetric people. Like, the most symmetric faces.
But also, I feel like, what's it called? Like, mountains and shit. Like, just nature.
That's what I was gonna say.
Like, in its raw beauty, I feel like... I mean, you would hope that no one could, like, deny that.
Yeah.
But I feel like people just... The way that people are, like, they're so cynical that, like, they could, like, it's all just based off of, there's, I think there's objectivity in it all.
They're so cynical, the people are so cynical, but they're also habituated, because my example would be a sunset, you know? Like, mm-hmm. Last night, we had one of the sexiest sunsets ever, dude. There was, like, purple outside, and, you know, and then there's probably a good amount of people that just really enjoy a sunset, you know? You get out of your car, and you're like, all right, just look at it for a couple seconds, you know? And
yeah.
But most people are so inundated with all the bullshit that they're doing with their lives and stuff that they don't recognize the most beautiful painting of all time every single night in the sky, you know?
They also,
it's there every night is the thing.
That's true,
but
it's not special.
That's it. Yeah, that's the other thing of it. It's habituated. Just like, yeah, people just, you know, they've seen 1,000 sunsets, and it's just that people choose to, like, replace things in their life for what they feel is more important.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you gotta prioritize, because I feel like at some point when we all get older, it's just like, you're gonna have to, like, you've already prioritized like certain things, so it's like you're gonna be stuck in that, you know? Like, now you're like held to those things because you have, like, I don't know, a job or a house or, like, some type of thing that, like, holds you down.
Yeah.
That you gotta, like, keep it going. Kids.
Yeah.
No. not anytime soon. That would be...
All I know is I've seen a gazillion sunsets, and I only remember one sunset and one sunrise.
Yeah.
Out of everything, I only remember one.
I feel like I can remember like multiple sunrises or sunsets that have been really like good, that I've like appreciated, and other ones that I've fully sat there for the whole thing. Like
no, like I like
yeah,
I appreciate them for sure, but like looking
they all
back,
blend together.
All of them, yeah,
yeah.
Except one, I remember I went over the bridge on fucking Butler to get over when I was working at the pool job. And, like, every morning I would see the sunrise because I'd be up at the butt crack of dawn. Mm. And so I'm, like, getting over, and there was, like, green over the water, like, just a line of green. And I was like, holy shit, and just blew my mind.
Have you ever seen a solar flare?
No. Whoa, you've seen one?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Those things are crazy.
It scares the fuck out of me, dude.
Yeah, those things.
Just being wiped off the face of the earth.
It's just, like, that, like, last moment before the sun sets. And
yeah.
It, like, flashes, like, a... It's like the last bit of light or something. It's
oh, I've heard of that shit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a green light thing. Damn. I don't know exactly
yeah.
what the
I know what you're talking about. It's like the last light, and if it reflects
well, that's
right.
Like that remember in the Pirates of the Caribbean movie? When they had to time it perfectly, and they flipped the boat, right? The green, and the green shot up.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
Entered,
oh, yeah.
They entered the dead man's chest world or whatever to get that's that same shit, bro. Pirates of the Caribbean's real. It's just like low hanging fruit.
Yeah, the earth is flat, though.
Debatable. Questionably.
I can't believe that there's people out there that think it's fucking flat.
That's where we go back into like your echo chambers of like Facebook groups where it's like, oh, I'm a part of a flat earthers, you know, fucking group or
yeah.
whatever, and it's like, I'm gonna post all these facts about flat earth, and then all the people that are commenting are also fucking in the group. So they're just like,
sounds good, man.
Yeah, what do you think their opinion's gonna be? It's not gonna be like, hey, I think it's fucking you know, round. They're
yeah.
gonna be like, nah, dude, like that's you're so right, like
it's yeah, it's crazy, man. That's how it is with everything, dude.
I just don't like what would make someone really think the earth is flat? Like seriously, what like
YouTube video, man. That'll convince you.
YouTube videos.
What? YouTube videos are full of shit. It's just one person spewing out shit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just with no one there to say, nope, you're full of shit.
Yeah.
Nope,
yeah.
you're full of shit.
And then people are just like really impressionable. And
that's heavy. Yeah. It's crazy how
and
impressionable
people
some people are. Yeah.
Yeah. That's also true. But that goes back to, yeah, people just don't do the research. Like, go to the public library and go find a book on
dude.
Like the flat earth, and you'll have a hard time, I think.
Dude, I think that's like the origin of cults too, man. It's just like having global people that honestly want to believe something like alternative, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know, man.
Because people want like hope in something. Mm-hmm. And like,
yeah, exactly.
If they can get like their hope out of some or like answers out of something, then like they're gonna follow that until it doesn't really make sense anymore, which is like that's normally what happens.
Yeah.
Because like people are you're gonna talk yourself into like logically thinking that like this is the right thing to do morally or ethically until
mm-hmm.
you realize that like after you're just like, whoa, like I'm in a cult.
Yeah. yeah.
But speaking of cults, I have a little cult leader as a cat now.
Whoa.
Yeah. His name's Muffet Ludwig Van Manson.
Holy shit.
I'm tagging his... That's his Instagram, too. You should, everyone should follow it.
Follow the cult cat.
What is it?
Muffin Ludwig Van Manson.
Wow.
Muffin Ludwig Van Manson.
Yeah. Wow. But it's Muffin Manson. That's, like, his name.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So how did he start this cult?
Well, we found him, like, our downstairs neighbor found him, like, on the outside of our house, and, like, brought him up, like, out from the rain, and he has, like, a white mark on his head, and it looks like an upside-down cross.
Oh.
And so, like,
sick.
We were like, okay, that's kind of funny, and then he was just kind of, like, an asshole at first.
Yeah.
So, and Tyler wanted to name him Muffin. Because he was just, like, a little sweet kitty. And I was like, let's name him Manson. And so we just, like, said Muffin Manson. And then we ended up taking him to the vet. And they asked me the same question. They're like, why'd you name him Muffin Manson?
Yeah.
And then I got, like, they, like 20 minutes went by and they came back out with him like sedated and they were like, yeah, we saw both sides of Muffin Manson. He like attacked the nurse and damn. Like we could only give him one shot.
What a savage.
But now he's like a sweetheart. Like he's really sweet most of the time.
Damn, dude.
And then he attacks. But he's just like a little kitty. Yeah, but I'm thinking
like every cat.
Yeah,
like just, every cult
he's
leader.
To start a cult. Yeah, like because he just like lures people in with his sweetness, and then he'll like latch onto your nose, like, or your lip, or.
Damn.
But he also lets you kiss his head now. So
it's all just a ploy, so he can attack you later.
I don't know. I'm a part of his cult now, so like, I love him.
They just want to eat you. They're like, we need to eat you.
Cats
they
are just savages.
They don't realize how big they are until they try, and they're like, oh shit, let's
yeah,
be friends again.
They're
know?
Just like, they just gnaw on you
yeah.
constantly.
Oh, you feed me? Oh, wait,
have
okay,
you seen my arms now?
They're yeah.
fucking lit up.
Yeah, I have the same from
I'm just
well,
so lit up from it.
It's proud scars, though.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, so do you have a favorite cult? Or like one that you find the most interesting, I should say.
Yeah, I don't know. Because if I say a favorite cult, it's gonna seem like I like
I love that guy.
Yeah, like
yeah.
That. That's like
just my... most interesting.
I watched that the
fuck, what was it?
There was like a documentary on it on Netflix.
Waco.
Yeah, was it Waco? Mm-hmm. Was it with the Indian guy?
The Waco. Yeah. That one was
Waco?
Pretty. That one was pretty nuts. But the Jonestown Massacre one is
oh,
fucking
that's
crazy.
Heavy.
That's the one that I can think of. That's like. That I've, like, I was, like, looked into because it was just so, like, wild that, like, some dude literally got fucking so many people to go to, what was it? Venezuela? No. I don't even know. Where is Jonestown?
I think Boston?
No.
What about the guy who convinced all of their all of his followers to drink cyanide?
Yeah, that's
the
Jonestown.
Kids? Oh, in the Gatorade?
It was in Kool-Aid.
Like 14.
And he got them to,
yeah.
he got them to all go to Guayana Esquiva, which is in Venezuela. And yeah, he convinced like thousands upon thousands of people to like move out there to like be a part of this like community. Which is weird that you say that because we were talking about that earlier.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, you can only like know like 150 names.
Yeah.
Like that goes, you know, that can get pretty crazy pretty quick. And then some dudes like who. I don't know. People just want to, what's it called? They want to have like some type of structure.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they need some type of like someone to tell them what to do. It seems like most people.
Yeah, man. And
like making their own decisions.
Yeah. But then that goes into like, yeah, then they tell you to drink fucking
cyanide and Kool-Aid.
That's
which,
some heavy
no, they
shit.
Were all like fully like willingly did it.
Yeah.
Like,
as,
it was
God.
They knew what was going to happen.
And then there's the other one, the Heaven's Gate one, where he convinced this guy, like, crazy eyes, man. And there's, like, interviews of this guy, like, going on spiels and shit. But basically, it was, like, he got all these people, and it was, like, super, like, anchored in astronomy and shit. And so they all killed themselves. I think they drank some poison as well. And they killed themselves on this certain night. And the belief was that they had to kill themselves so they can go up to the mothership. Because it was, like, the planets line perfectly or whatever. It's so heavy, man. It's crazy how you can get people to believe certain things, man. And that just goes to show that the truth of the matter is there's no answers.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people out there that will tell you answers.
Yeah.
And
anyone who tells you answers is full of shit.
That's true, but people are searching for answers, man. And if they...
Yeah,
they don't... Yeah, like... They
We're
don't care if it's bullshit.
Answers all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, like, life.
Yeah.
But
well, some people are always searching for answers.
I don't know, but like the
some people aren't.
Cruise.
I feel like I'm constantly just like trying to like expand my knowledge at this point.
Yeah, I'm talking about like older generations.
Yeah, I think it goes both ways, man.
Yeah, I've like freaking just lately just been trying not to have like as many expectations about things.
Yeah.
General. Like just kind of trying to live in the present moment. It's hard to do that, but I think we all should try a little more instead of like being on our phones or like you know thinking about like what could have been before, like what you gotta do later, like just enjoy the present moment.
Well, that's going a fucking on. Beautiful way to wrap it up, man. You got any shout outs?
Shout out Cherry Springer.
Cherry Springer.
Shouts out to the BDHQ.
What's that?
The household.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Shout out to, I don't know. There's, I don't know.
All right, well then.
Yeah, that's it.
Good to wrap it up, brother. Thanks for coming on, dude.
Thank you.
Rock and roll!